You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the UCB Long-Form Conversations podcast. From New York City, I'm John Timothy. I was the guest on the last episode, but today I'm the host. Get ready, a reversal of fortunes. And my guest today is Gary Richardson, who improv fans might know from just about everything. Gary, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
All right. Good. So, Gary, Hey, man, you've had quite a road to get where you are.
Haven't we all?
Haven't we all? That's how generous. That's very beautiful.
Yeah, we're all trying, I assume.
Yeah. So, okay, I remember meeting you. I think it was like a week after you got to town. Is that right? Like
maybe. It might have been the very
maybe
week
very
that I got here.
Yeah. Like, so remember, we were met at Exley, I think. You were there with a friend, and so this person was like, oh, this is my friend. He's from out of town. He just moved here. He does comedy, too. And, you know, like, people say that, and they're like, oh, cool. It's like, another comedy person.
Yeah, I'll bump into in 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll start brand new.
But even, like, at the end of that evening, I was like, oh, no, Gary's not joking around. Gary's, like, for real. He's, like, a very, very funny man. And you have kept working and doing all kinds of, like, you know, a man about the New York improv scene in such a short amount of time. But I think you have so many fascinating parts of your story. You started in Chicago, correct?
Yes, correct. I moved to Chicago. I graduated high school in St. Louis, moved to Chicago for college. I wanted to move to L.A., but my mom's in the Army, and she went to war. Oh. And she was like, oh, don't move too far away from home in case, like, shit pops off and you got to get home quickly.
Wait, she went to war?
Yeah, yeah. She, like, did a couple tours.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I hear you, but I'm not staying in Missouri at all. And she's like, I don't care, just don't go too far. So Chicago was the move. And then kind of early on in Chicago, I went to I.O. to see, like, they have Free Heralds on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Or they did. I don't know if that's still the case. But they had Free Heralds on Wednesdays, and I went to check it out. Fell in love with it that day, and I was like, hey, I'm going to sign up for classes here, and signed up that week.
Cool.
And then started doing stuff there.
So you'd wanted to move to L.A. Did you have an idea that you were going to be performer-comedian before then? Or was L.A. just a town that seemed fun?
I knew that I wanted to be a performer, yeah. Comedy I had always enjoyed, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm sure that that will be a thing, but I hadn't, like, set my sights on it specifically.
Yeah. I think it's a hard thing when you're a kid to be like, I know what I want to do.
Yeah, it's like tough enough to like pick a school.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Let alone like know exactly what you want to do. But luckily, I feel like pretty early on, I did realize like, oh, yeah, I want to like write and perform. And like comedy just made more sense. And I've been that hasn't changed in 10 years.
Yeah.
So I assume that's what it's going to be.
You're going to stick with it. Yeah. That's good. Hey. I think you should stick with it.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
No problem. Yeah. No problem, man. Did you have any like major influences growing up that you think pushed you into this writing comedy world?
Like personally or
like people you're fans of?
Oh, sure. I mean, I guess personally it would have to be my older cousin, my mom's cousin Darnice, who is, I still think, just the funniest person. She babysat me a lot as a kid, so I would just watch any movie that she watched. So it was a lot of Jim Carrey, a lot of Eddie Murphy, a lot of that kind of stuff. And and I was like, this is the best. I remember like my first laughs being like running around the house, like quoting The Mask. And I was like, this is what I'm all about.
This
is the best.
There was that phase when playground comedy was how good was your Jim Carrey?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Or like how many words from Austin Powers do you know right now? Yeah.
On the spot.
Absolutely.
Let's go. Yeah. I wonder if that's still the same. Like, do you think that it's got to be, right? We're just so far removed from it.
I think so. I mean, even if you look at, like, Instagram and like memes.
Yeah.
So many memes are just like, oh, how can we twist this thing just a little bit? You know, like it's like people are barely.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it's just repetition with not even any kind
of like. It's like, oh, here's the formula. Pick and plug.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, cool.
Man, we were memeing before it was a word.
Yeah.
That's, mm-hmm. Well. Huh. So you're in Chicago. You left school, right? To is that correct?
Dropped out of school because I was paying for it myself, and I was like, "Man, school sucks."
Yeah.
So I quit.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, and I was like, "I'm gonna keep doing comedy."
I feel like that's the thing. A lot of people who make it this far, they're always like, you know, you can't rewrite the past, but that's what I should have done. And I think it's amazing that you had the, like, foresight or the gumption to just go do it.
Well, it's funny because I quit school, but the semester before I quit school, I stopped going to classes, like, right around midterms and didn't tell my mom. Then I re-enrolled and because I went to, like, Columbia College, which is barely a school, you know? So I went back the next semester, and then I was like, you know, I think I'm going to quit. And I didn't have a conversation with anybody. I mean, I talked with, like, buddies, but didn't talk to my mom at all. And I was like, hey, Mom, I dropped out. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to go back to school. And she was devastated that her oldest decided to shuck the educational system. And I was like, yeah.
I imagine that's a hard thing for a parent.
Like, absolutely.
There's probably, like, a checklist of things you have to make sure your kid does.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point, like, make it alive to 18, make sure they graduate college, and then at a certain point, you're kind of hands off.
Yeah.
That's probably, like, the last
one. Because she quit school to join the military.
Oh.
Yeah, so she quit school, joined the military. And my younger brother also quit school, but now he's back in school. So I think that she's very excited about that.
Yeah.
That one of her kids will graduate, and she doesn't seem... I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Negligent or something.
Yeah.
Did she ever go back?
No, she didn't. Well, she actually did. She did like online classes through some, I forget what university, but like got her like BA in like some like business administration or some shit.
Great.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So you're in Chicago, out of school, and you're at IO.
Yes.
Was it primarily IO or?
IO. I was doing like a lot of like annoyance stuff at the time.
Right, right, right.
I later did some Second City stuff. There's this place CIC that's out there that I did a bunch of stuff at. And this place that was short lived called the Upstairs Gallery.
That's right.
Which was the best place.
That was a cool place. I did a show there once when it was like a couple UCB people who from the Midwest went and visited Chicago.
I think I was there that night.
I think you were there.
I think I was there that night. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we talked about this. We had a terrible show. It was just, I think we started out being like, we're the New York, we're going to crush this. And then we made some snide comments about being from New York. And that's a really fast way to lose an audience is the thing we discovered. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially like in the Midwest, you know.
Yeah.
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 Folks are pretty hold on tight at their hometowns.
Yeah. They love it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, anyway. So you were mostly IO. What do you think? This is too broad of a question. I'm going to ask it anyway, and then we can like narrow it down.
Okay.
But like, what were the foundations and fundamentals that you think you got out of Chicago? Because you know, New York and Chicago have debated. IO's very similar to UCB in a lot of ways, but I feel like the scene out there is kind of different. Maybe focuses on different things.
Sure, I think the scene out there differs from. I think that it's very interesting because. The indie scene isn't so different then. I think that everybody's kind of doing stuff everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So people perform, like, at the height of my stuff there, I was doing, I don't know, 15 shows a week.
Wow.
Just because I was like, I don't.
15 shows a week?
It's so easy to get everywhere. I biked most of the year, so I was like, I can get anywhere. So it's like doing a ton. You were seeing everybody, and the only... currency in the scene is kind of like not completely true, but for the most part, it's like how funny you are,
right?
Because there are so few ways to like make a buck doing comedy, it's kind of just if you're funny or not. Whereas, like out here, like you can work and people kind of like float in and out of the scene, which is very cool. So people aren't as that sounds weird to say, but. How funny you are isn't the only way that you're measured.
I think so. I think that's pretty true. Like there is still some, not old boys club, but it is something a little bit about like contacts and like knowing people
for sure.
And like you know, like this person's put in time, and so we'll keep them around because we trust them in a
certain
way.
And that still exists out there. It still is absolutely, there are people holding down the same slots that they have for so long, and it is this weird bottleneck of opportunities, which I think is what led to cool places like the Upstairs Gallery.
Right.
Yeah. Where it was like, okay, yeah, we are tired of this system. We will operate a thing our own way, the way that we think that a thing should go.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
That is cool. Yeah. I think, I mean, that's how any of these people we talk about, they all just got tired of their system and went and made their own system. You know, like the UCB. I think they're continually being like, hey, don't venerate us. Go blow us out of the water. Go make your own shit. Like, which I think is a very healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what got you out of Chicago?
I felt that I was going to become, like, I was going to start resenting the scene. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. And I was like, okay, cool. I know that, like, doing improv, like, forever, like, getting to, like, whatever coveted slot was not my goal.
Yeah.
I knew that I wanted to work in comedy and I wanted to, like, have a career. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, the opportunities for that, for me specifically, aren't happening here. I've got to go somewhere else where that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, I'm probably going to go to L.A. Then I came out here and visited a buddy. I visited Conor O'Malley.
Oh, right, yeah.
And a bunch of folks came out, and I stayed, like, a little bit longer and just fell in love with the city.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I got to come out here.
Yeah. I feel like you and Conor were the, like, kind of, like, beachhead for, like, a big wave of Chicago people coming out. You know, like, this whole annoyance scene is really taken off in the last year or two, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the annoyance. You do a lot of stuff there, right?
A fair amount. Yeah.
Yeah, like what attracts you to that kind of work? Or what could you describe what you get out of that work, or what you think that work is even, and then why you're attracted to it?
I guess in Brooklyn specifically, the New York annoyance, it's just kind of like where my buddies are, and it's a place where I feel like, oh, I can put up stuff there easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's like as simple as that for me.
Yeah.
I desperately don't want to be any theater's dude, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I don't want to do everything there. I'm trying my hardest to, like, make sure that I go do shows at the Pit and make sure that I do stuff at UCB still.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, wherever folks will have me, I want to do shows. I just, the idea of being, like, a theater's dude, like, kind of makes me shudder.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. But ideologically, the idea of kind of just, like, I feel like over there, nobody's going to fault you for going, like, hella hard.
Yeah.
And I like that. Where it's like, oh, yeah, just, like, get up there and try to kill. Like, actively try to kill.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Now, what's stuff you've put up there that you think specifically allowed you to go for the kill?
I think easily the Holy Fuck Comedy Hour is a show that happens every Thursday night there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just like a lot of the old Chicago dudes. Like a lot of New York folks are involved with it now.
Mm-hmm.
But initially it was a lot of the old Chicago dudes. And it's truly just like, okay, show up. Hopefully you've got a bit already thought of. Mm-hmm. Odds are you don't. You kind of just like look at who's there, figure out something, and just like, it's like, all right, cool. You know that you're up there in the show. You have to go on stage. You have to do something. And it's like, yeah, hopefully you've figured out something and just, like, try to kill. Just, like, go.
Yeah.
And it's, like, late night on a Thursday, so who cares? It is, like, yeah. But I think that's a very cool space and a very cool thing to do.
That is cool.
It's like, yeah, just go for it there.
Yeah. The chance to just, like, go do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And, like, try and fail and not feel like you're being graded or judged or
something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you like, filling with buds, which is cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What excites you about improv, I guess? Like, what, in the art form as a whole, or, like, in an improv scene, what do you like to do, or what kind of stuff do you like to do?
I guess the thing that is exciting is that it is, like, group building, and you get to places that you don't, that you wouldn't normally get to.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it is a time where you have to be more present than you are at every other point in your day. And I think that's great, to be able to, like, actually look your buddy in the eye and, like, listen to what he's saying and have to respond to it. I think that's great. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get to be funny. I think that's, like, a nice thing. you get laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is something about just like the forced connection that you have to have when you're in improv scene that forces you to just like be so in the moment and so like alive. If you had to characterize your style in some way, what would you say it is? You think, or your voice, or something?
I don't know. I'd say I've got a pretty casual approach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm a terribly frantic dude.
Nope.
I don't know. I don't know. Some sort of like casual charisma, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I think I agree with
you. Hey, I'll take that. Yeah.
What were some of the first like breakthroughs you had when you were trying to figure this out? Like, what were those first moments when you're like, I kind of get this now.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember being in a class back in Chicago, and like I think it was like a level one or two, and it was the first time that we had ever really done any like object work stuff, and we had, it was like, oh, I didn't know what to do, so I just started like fucking around in this like massage parlor, and like getting a laugh, and I was like, oh, tight, every laugh doesn't have to come from some like witty line or some like crazy callback. It's like, oh yeah, you can just like exist in a space and trust that you are compelling, trust that like you are enough.
That's
that kind
huge.
Of idea. Yeah,
that's a hard thing to like teach people to like when, like I think it's a hard, that's a hard one, like realization, I think.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like there's not even really ever a time to say it, like you can say it, but people kind of have to come to that realization on their own, I feel like.
That like there's so many like it's very hard to, or it's a harder, you're putting yourself in a harder box if you're trying to only get laughs on the lines you're saying, because there's so much more room.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a lot less work to, like, than just making up a joke every line.
Yeah.
Which is so hard.
For sure.
I find that the more we do this, the less it's all an effort to do less work a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, sure, you know, you could make up a joke and have a killer line, like, every line, or you could, like, be a real person and still get the same amount of laughs.
Yeah.
Maybe truer.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, you can definitely, like, be a Blake Griffin and, like, run around dunking as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be, like, a Tim Duncan and, like, win a bunch of championships because you know how to, like, control the space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I mean, like, that might not be the best analogy, but I think you get where I'm going.
I get it. I get it. Yeah.
Hopefully whoever's listening gets it too.
Yeah, for the intersection of improv nerds and basketball nerds.
Yeah.
Well, the three of you that are listening very much appreciate your viewership. So what there's like a presumed beef between Chicago and New York in like terms of like competing styles, I think. Like, you know, there's like the, you know, if you're to do broad stereotypes, like Chicago's all about finding your feelings and loosey-goosey, and New York, defined by the UCB, is like very rules-oriented and so much about like the right way to do things or what. Like, where do you think you fall on this continuum? Or do you think it's even a conversation worth having?
I don't think it's a conversation worth having, only because you can't tell by looking at the best. You can only tell, like, the differences when you're watching something bad. You know, it's like, oh, a bad Chicago improv scene is probably boring because it's people, like, having a very real conversation about, and it's, like, not even a real conversation. It, like, gets into, like, these conversations where it's like, oh, let's, like, really discuss whether or not we want to have, like, iced tea or, you know, like, Coke for dinner. And it's like, oh, that's fucking boring.
Yep.
But I think that the worst in New York stuff is predictable.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can, like, you can call actual lines of dialogue 5 lines before it's said.
Yep.
It's like this, yeah, I think that's, so it's only, I think that the best of both are very emotional and very unpredictable. I think that, like, we like the people who we like because of how they and. Right?
Yeah.
Like, not because they say yeah, because everybody, like, ideally, everybody's saying yeah.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then the part that's different is how folks and.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
So I'm like, okay, yeah.
Like, at a certain level, everyone's going to have these basic competencies of, like, your ability to say yes. So no one's like, I love how this guy says yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he kills it. But it's like, no, that's just kind
it's
of
like
a given
the and.
At a certain point, you know.
And it's like, okay, cool. So everybody is, like, listening and responding, and I imagine that it's fun for you to, like, see people, like, when the game breaks, why it breaks, right? Mm-hmm. Out here, I think that's like a very exciting thing. And I think that's the same for when the character's different in Chicago. Like, why is that different? Why is this moment different than we expected it? Like, that's the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
The terminology is different, but I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's all roads lead to the same, like, being in the moment, living, reacting.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
I think that the thing that I noticed the most, having done both, is in the classes out here. That it's like, oh, I feel like out here in New York, you won't have as bad of a teacher as you could have in Chicago. Because there's, like, such a strict curriculum.
Sure.
But I feel like you also can't have, like, the curriculum doesn't really allow for a teacher to really delve into something early and be like, no, you know what? We're going to scrap what we were going to work on. We're going to work on this thing because this would be the best and most helpful right now.
Yeah.
I haven't, at least I haven't seen that.
Sure. I think that's,
maybe that's happening.
No, I think that, I think you're right. I think it the strength of the curriculum is that it, like, gets every class into that, like, you know, 70 to, like, 85% range.
Yeah.
So you're, like,
yeah,
you're going to have a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it does kind of narrow your chances of having, like, a mind-blowing experience, you know? Like, and I think that's just kind of like an institutional thing, too. It's like
for
you become bigger, you know, it's just, like, hard.
And I'm sure that sort of thing is probably happening now in Chicago with IO becoming bigger and, like, all these other places becoming more institutionalized. I'm sure that they are also adapting these curriculums that are much more strict and restrictive to the initially weirder people, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. Like, you know, like, when did you say you started taking?
Started 2007? Taking, like, yeah, like late 2007, early 2008.
Yeah, I think about the same amount of time, I think. It's kind of when I started doing it, like, here at least. Like, it's interesting to see just how, like, the comedy landscape or, like, the community, improv community can change over time, even as short, relatively short amount of time as, like, a decade or so.
Yeah.
In that, like, you know, you hear stories about Del Close, like, jumping off of, like, you know, balconies onto the stage and, like, abusing people to, like, get this great performances out of them. That guy could never get a job here now.
Yeah.
Like, he just couldn't do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And rightfully so, you know.
Yeah, like, no, absolutely.
Don't hit me.
Yeah.
No, get out of here.
Yeah, I can learn yes and without you hitting me,
sir. Yeah, there's a better way.
I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed any other, like, big changes to, like, the improv or the comedy since you've started doing it?
Yeah, I think just, like, with also the cultural landscape being what it is, people are a lot more aware, at least, like, on the whole, of, like, when trying to, like, use, like, weirder, more, like triggered or, like, loaded language, you know? I feel like that's a thing that is just, like, echoed back from the culture. Yeah, and it's like, oh, like, we can't, yeah, like, you can't say these kind of words.
Totally.
And when folks do say those words, when the best folks say them, there is a ton of intent.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they are very aware of it, but they're not throwing it away.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is cool.
It's not a casual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I see that a lot in the use of the word bitch a lot. Like,
sure.
Like, when I started, oh, that's just a thing people say. That's, like, reflecting the dialogue. But now, like, I basically ban students from saying, like, it's not, it's, like, out, because it just, the audience turns, you know, and rightfully so, on, like, you know, seeing some 22-year-old white dude just, like, call people bitches all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, and, you know, they'll be like, well, why can't I say that? That's what this character would say. I'm like, I know, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you're playing a shitty character.
Yeah.
One, it's unspecific.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like, you can give an improv term that'll, like, be more helpful.
Yeah.
And then two, like, you know, so it's kind of awkward to say.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're not in class to, like, do whatever you want. You're in class to learn. So, like, stretch here. Like, work that out here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that hopefully if you do decide to say it, you say it at a time when people won't turn on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would be ideal.
Right.
Like,
that's the goal.
Yeah, to say it to comedic effect.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and, yeah, that's a lot of it, too, is, like, learning how to execute with will and intent, as opposed to just kind of, like, flail everything out all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're what kind of improv are you doing these days?
Not a ton, actually. I'm occasionally my old Lloyd team, Rizzo, mm-hmm. will like get asked to do a show.
Rizzo, great. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We haven't even started talking about Rizzo.
We got time.
We got the. Yeah. So let's start at Rizzo and then we'll talk about what you're doing now.
Cool.
So Rizzo. A much beloved team.
Yeah, it was a good time.
People love Rizzo.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your experience being on Rizzo?
It was kind of a blast, start to finish. Everybody was kind of always on board for anything,
mm-hmm.
and like there were never any weird arguments or egos in the room, which was tight.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, people were just like, "Oh, we just want to do like good improv and be buds."
Yeah,
and it just happened to be that it
That's
was
great.
As low stakes as I think everything improv related should be.
That's great.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, show up, do the work, then mm-hmm. bounce. Go get a drink. Chill out. Yeah.
That's funny. It's funny. I keep hearing you like lowering the stakes on when you like talk about improv.
Uh-huh.
You know, like it's like, it's not important, it shouldn't matter. And I think that's like a good thing. Like this is an entire podcast about
and I don't think that it's not important, but I think as an art form, it is definitely an important art form.
Yes.
But an improv show is not important
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think across the board, there is no single important improv show. There are shows that are great and have done awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, oh, yeah, once it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. And even if it's filmed, it's not the same.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool. That, like, it just, yeah, it's gone. So if it's, like, how important is it?
Great, yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Like, mm-hmm. how important can it be if we can't see it, taste it, touch it?
Yeah, or even
or experience
like,
it in any way again.
Or even, like, remember, I feel like there are, like, historical things that are gone,
mm-hmm.
but we still can, like, I can describe, like, we can, like, read a book about slavery
mm-hmm.
and understand the importance of it.
Sure.
I can't get you to laugh at the best improv show I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
If I explain that show to you, I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, and then this happened, and then that, and you're going to be like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, hey, it sounds
good,
like it was a good show. Yeah,
like, I trust you that this was an important uh-huh. thing for you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. but it's hard. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's a very important like line to hold.
At least to me, I mean, like there are some folks who, and that is also like just to me because it's weird now that improv is a hobby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Improv's no longer, like, for a while, I know there's probably, like, 6 or 7 years where it was like, oh, no, I want to be doing improv.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to be doing. But now it is a thing that I do when I can make it.
Yep.
I no longer, like, there was, like, a time where I would, like, cancel a date, and I wasn't going on a bunch of fucking dates. I would be like, oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, I can't do this. I've got to go do this show, mm-hmm. or, like, we have to reschedule around this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, oh, no way. I'm going to go out.
Why would you ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's crazy. Like, and I feel like we're in similar places in this regard where, like, yeah, it's weird to get to this point. You had to, like, fall in love with it. You
Absolutely.
Had to, like,
I had
grind
to be, like,
and grind.
Head over heels, going to see shows every night of the week.
Uh-huh.
There was, like, a time in Chicago, I'd say a 10-month stretch where I didn't miss a single TJ and Dave.
Whoa.
You know? And I'm like, that's wild.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade that for anything.
No,
that was, like,
absolutely not.
A terribly formative time for me.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I wouldn't dare.
No, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't dare.
When was the last time you went and saw, like, an improv show?
I think I still see a fair amount, but even still, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know when the last time that I, like, made plans to go see a show.
Right.
It was like, oh, if I'm doing a show, if I've got time, I'll stick around, or mm-hmm. I'll get there early and check something out. But yeah, it's nuts.
It's interesting that, like, this is an art form that can become... I don't know. It's like you kind of age. I don't want to say age out of it because that makes it seem like it's like a young person's game or
sure.
something. But there is a level you hit.
Yeah. I think that we could say age out if we think that everybody comes in at like age one. And like, so if we're all starting at one,
mm-hmm.
there are people who definitely get to like 10 years old mm-hmm. and still really love it. But odds are you have like a step of remove from it.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Do you think there are other like... hobbies or art forms where this trajectory follows? Because it seems to be pretty unique. Like, you don't hear about a lot of guitar players who are like, yep, played guitar for 10 years, decided to, like, couldn't do it anymore. Or like,
well,
life takes
real.
Over.
Does that sound real? I mean, like, I feel like a lot of people, like, start bands in their, like, early 20s, and now they're, like, CPAs or fucking,
right.
Like, yeah, like I went back to like law school and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's.
That makes sense. That mm-hmm. tracks.
Yeah. And also, like, I feel like basketball players who like have slaved away in high school mm-hmm. and like college and then don't get drafted. It's like, oh yeah, you've mm-hmm. got to pick something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess at a certain point. Yeah. Yeah, you can't do anything forever.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess you can if you want to, but.
Yeah, you could.
It sounds a little boring to me.
Yeah. Even if something as like new every time as improv mm-hmm. could, I think, wear yeah. on you if you. You can't, just can't keep that same level of enthusiasm for something.
That,
for that
and
long.
Also, I feel like the longer people keep that level of enthusiasm, the more likely they are to try to develop these hard rules
yeah.
for how a thing should go. And that, I don't like that at all. Mm-hmm. I want to keep this thing that. We're told that we can do it if we want on stage. Mm-hmm. I want to just keep it as free as that. Like, yeah. I don't need to hear that there's like, oh, no, the way that you have to navigate this situation is like blank. You can't do that thing here.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, let's do it and like figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's going to keep it worth doing for that
yeah,
long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is like really mm-hmm. bypassing your first, second, or like trained responses.
Yeah.
And going and
be like, oh, yeah, like let's like,
new.
Let's. Try something new, or not even new, just different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and see if we can make something happen there.
Yeah,
yeah.
So let's go. Let's talk about Rizzo again.
Okay, cool.
Back to the Riz. So how long were you guys together for?
I think a calendar year.
A calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I want to ask you? I want to ask you. You say that like it was kind of like a egos at the door, everyone just came to play kind
yeah.
of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, do you think that there's like a way to like emulate that? Like, is there a way to go, like, does that allow you to be like, I'm going to do this on my next team, like have that attitude? Or do you think that this was like a unique experience that just was luck?
That being my only UCB team, I've got mm-hmm. no clue.
Right.
But from what I see from other teams, that doesn't seem to be the case mm-hmm. where, like, everybody is egoless and mm-hmm. just there to, like, hang out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it happened for us because we were fortunate enough to have people who, this wasn't their first team. Like, you had mm-hmm. a few folks who had been on Harold Knight and Cut.
Yep.
And people who, yeah, who, like, had mm-hmm. other interests. And improv was just improv. It wasn't, yeah. like, we had, like, Murph was on there. He uh-huh. was on Harold Knight and then got cut.
Yep.
Molly was on there, who had been on Harold Knight. I think those were the only two Harold Knight folks. But then, like, we had, like, a main who was, like, doing music also.
Right.
So everybody had other things going on. And I think that made it very easy.
Yeah.
That we didn't have anybody who, at the time, if they were, I didn't know, but they were not, mm-hmm. like, this is it. This has to be the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that drive to be great can really ruin you. Like
yeah.
that, like, oh, this has to be important.
Yeah.
This mm-hmm. is going to be our best team we've ever done.
Yeah.
I don't think that works, really. Like,
I don't know. I think that we all wanted it to be the best team.
Sure.
I think that we, as a team, had an ego, mm-hmm. for sure. I think that we were like, oh, yeah, yeah, we were like, oh, we're the funniest.
Right.
We're the funniest. Mm-hmm. We're doing the best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that when it came to, like, what needed to be done,
mm-hmm.
no person was, like, bigger than the team. No
okay.
person thought that they had more of a say in anything. And I think also a fair amount of folks, at least I specifically, made it very clear that I wanted almost no parts in any decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
Also just because I'm bad at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, somebody else take care of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you guys yeah. got this, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I trust you.
Yeah. So I think that kind of thing
helps out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was on my first Herald team, Sandy, you know, when we got broken up, we looked at all of our Gmail things
mm-hmm.
and the percentages of, like, who sent the most emails.
Yeah.
And I was dead last by orders of magnitude
mm-hmm.
Because I was the guy that was like, you know what? Unless I have a problem, this is all good.
Yeah.
You know what?
You guys have figured it out.
You guys got this, right?
It's like, yeah, somebody wants to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
If enough folks say yeah, mm-hmm. somebody will say yeah
mm-hmm.
and text me the day of.
Yep.
And if I'll be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So after Rizzo, what were you doing comedy, improv? How did Rizzo end?
Rizzo ended because that Lloyd cycle was up,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, oh, yeah, we're not going to bring up any full. I think that we all kind of had it in our head that, oh, maybe we'll get moved up as a team.
That was kind of the buzz.
Yeah, and then that didn't happen, so a bunch of folks got moved up. A few folks didn't, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah,
I didn't get moved up, and I was like, I think a lot of folks thought that I got cut, which I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. But I also think that I was afraid that folks would think that I was being, like, a brat about
right.
it. Because it wasn't that I was like, if Rizzo isn't doing anything, I don't want to be a part of this. No, I was just like, oh, I knew that I wasn't going to have, that's not true, I couldn't know for sure. But I didn't expect to have as good a time on Lloyd Night performing at UCB East as I just did. And I was like, okay, cool. Harold Night would have been a different story. And I was like, there are people who would love this opportunity.
Yeah.
And it feels kind of selfish to be doing a thing just because other folks think it's important. Like when I think that there are better ways for me to spend my time, I think I owe it to myself to spend my time that way.
Yeah.
And to the community to get folks who are excited about that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very generous. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I don't know.
Also, yeah. Yeah. Also, you were like good. So when you're doing, I don't know, what excites you about doing improv anymore? Like, we've talked about how we're kind of, you know, like over it. Like, well, what keeps you doing it? Like, what?
I think, like, when it's good, it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
When it's good, it's, like, there is nothing better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doing a good improv scene is like, yeah, dude, we sat there and we just, like, straight up, you said a thing, and then I responded to that thing with a thing.
Yeah.
And we got to some place that neither of us thought we would go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so exciting. I think that there's, like, no other place where that happens. And I just think that's so cool. I think it's so cool. I think that it's cool that people watch it and it, like, resonates with them. And it becomes, like, important to them.
Yeah.
Like, ideally. Ideally, like, you do something that's cool and important. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And then you get to just, like, hang out.
Yeah.
I think that's so rad. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, I think, all there is to it. But, yeah, like, you get to... Like, now I'm at a place where I am in complete, not complete, but I'm, like, more or less in complete control of who I perform with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I want to go perform with these people?
Yeah.
I get to, like, it's my buds. I get to go do this. That's rad.
Yeah, I get to go hang out with my friends, and we'll get to go be funny like we would be if we're hanging out anyway.
Yeah.
And
we get to be, like, funny in, like, weird ways. Like, if anybody was just, like, doing weird accents all the time, I'd be like, all right, chill out.
Yeah.
But you get to do that shit on stage and, like, not feel corny and shit. I'm like, that's tight.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. That is one of the things I love about it, is that you can just like do, you can do or be anything. Like, there's so many roles that like you and I will not be ever cast for.
Absolutely.
in our like we will never be certain people, and that this is an avenue in which we can explore that.
Yeah,
we, you know, it doesn't matter what we look like, you know, like unlike film or theater or something like that. So, do you think do much? Like teaching or coaching of the improv?
Not really. Occasionally I'll coach if I can, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asked a ton. Mm-hmm. And there was a time in my life where I desperately wanted to be doing it a lot because I had these crystal clear philosophies and really wanted to push those forward into like the lexicon of thought on improv.
Yeah.
And that time for me has passed, I think, because... Selfishly, I just don't care about the growth of others right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, cool. It's like, I love the idea. Like, I enjoy seeing other people be great. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, sitting in a room and being like, nope, let's figure this out, that's just not what I'm into right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, there are people who are into that. They should be doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they are.
Yeah. Do you, what were some of these, like things that you felt was important to like push into the lexicon, even if you've kind of stepped back from them and et cetera. Like for someone who's starting out.
For someone who's starting out, I think that I would just tell them that like I feel like it's not said enough that like you being here and standing on stage gives you all the power in the room. Like now everybody in the audience is taking their cues from you. So like I feel like confidence isn't pushed enough in classes. I feel like people don't remark on, like, I feel like it's, like, pushed in, like, superficial ways where it's like, oh, like, stand up straight. But it's like, oh, no. if you like, if you sell a thing, mm-hmm. odds are we'll buy it because we all, it's just weird how that works.
It is.
Yeah.
Like they bought, it's hard, it's easy to forget that they bought a ticket to be entertained and they want to help
you. Yeah, absolutely. They came to see a show mm-hmm. and you're the show. Mm-hmm. Like you are the entire show. So they came to see you. So like all you got to do is kill. Like everything's there for you to kill because mm-hmm. there's nothing. You just got to do stuff. And I think that's so cool. And I think the idea that I feel like there's so much space that is like occupied by, I feel like silence isn't pushed enough.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like silence and like actually living in a space, like looking at the walls and like looking at the floor and like taking in your surroundings isn't pushed enough. And I feel like that's a cool thing. And it's like cool to get like those are different kinds of laughs, and I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those kind of like laughs off the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough. That is a hard thing to like teach people.
Yeah.
I think. It's like a hard thing to like get your head around.
Yeah. And also like just the idea of like I feel like the last few times that I coached, I have made everybody do this exercise that I think is great and I mm-hmm. think it's terrible to like be in where it's just like, oh, like do a scene and then I'm like, cool, did you think that was a great scene? And folks are like, oh, it was a fine scene, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, cool. We'll do that same scene again, but, like, make it great. And kind of just, like, make folks, like, it's like, oh, we know what we need to do. We know what a good scene is. Why are we not actively doing that every single time?
That's fascinating.
Why are we not actively trying to be great, thinking about every single line that we do? If we're supposed to be present, let's be present and pick what we're doing. Like, we get to choose the sentence that we say.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about it for a second before we say something.
Yeah.
I think that's like, I feel like it's supposed to be this like great effortless thing. And I think when it's good, it just appears effortless.
Totally.
Like it's like, oh yeah, Michael Jordan looks effortless.
Mm-hmm.
You know for a fact he's trying his hardest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, like it's like you want to work hard and not make the like work look hard.
Yep.
But I think that you can like slow down and just legit think about what you're doing. Like pick with, like, intent. Like, move forward with intent. I think that's something that is very important.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
How do those scenes work out? Are they better?
Yeah, I think that, like, eventually, like, I've made some folks do them for, like, 40 minutes.
Great.
Where it's like, cool, you're like, we will keep doing this scene until it's like, oh, mm-hmm. oh, this is the scene where, like, a rock band is getting a record contract? Cool. There's a ton of ways to do them bad. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to make that good. We're going to just keep doing this scene until it's good. It's like, and if we run out of time, oh, well.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. But we know what the exercise is. You have to do a great scene. You're all great performers.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, like, capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we not trying to be the fucking best every single time?
That's very cool.
But yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. You get to, like, yeah. You chose to be there. Choose everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't just say shit just to say shit.
Yeah.
Because that's boring.
It's very boring. I think people really get in the habit of, like, there's, like, an improv voice people use, mm-hmm. like, and that's when you just have to, like, stop them. It's like, oh, come on now. It's like a higher version of their voice, uh-huh. and you can just see they're dead in their eyes, and they're just talking to talk because there's, like, some kind of panic going on. And getting people out of that, I think, is very difficult.
Yeah.
Or it can be. Mm-hmm. And they don't even know they're doing it. It like, because mechanically they're probably fairly sound,
mm-hmm.
but like it's like no one's ever gonna think this is amazing.
Yeah,
because you're just I don't know you're nonsensically flailing
the
about.
The best we're gonna do in that mode is like okay,
mm-hmm.
and that's I'd rather watch a fucking shit show. I'd rather watch folks up there and be like, oh man, how the fuck did these people find each other?
Mm-hmm.
Like thank God that they found each other because they're saying some shit that I have never thought of.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch that kind of explosion on stage than fucking six Ivy League dudes being like, huh, yeah, I guess this election is weird.
It's
I guess we might as well all kill ourselves because mm-hmm. that's so fucking boring and it's been done a million times. Will be done a million more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, cool.
Oh, this doctor's really weird.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. The things that he's touching places doctors aren't supposed to touch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, ugh.
Oh, God. Yeah.
This is the best we could do.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best we could do.
How do you keep yourself doing this? Like, how do you keep yourself, like, pushing to have better than average or good shows? Like, was there a moment when you're like, oh, I've got to shoot bigger, or, like, I can be bigger? Or was that, like, a gradual realization?
I think the first time that I did that exercise that I just talked about, my coach at the time, this guy TJ Jagodowski in Chicago, was like, yeah, at a certain point, you're going to get to a place where you're kind of being coached by your buddies and you're coaching your buddies, and essentially it's on you to get better. Like, there are no more, like, nuggets of wisdom. It's on you to get better. So you have to want to get better. And if you don't want to get better, you're not going to get better. And that's fine. There's a ton of folks who are fine. But if you want to get better, then it's on you. You have to choose that. And that, like, stuck with me. And I think I talk about things enough that I would be embarrassed. And I still, like, of course there are shows where I show up and I don't go as hard. And I'm like, oh, I should have gone harder.
Yeah.
But I try to try.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that advice. Because I think there's a lot of advice that's very easy. Like, I think 90%, 99% of, like, improv advice out there is for people who are starting out or trying to find their voice or trying to think. We don't talk a lot about, like, well, when you've got all that and, like, you're good, what's going to make you, like, great?
Yeah.
When you are, like, being coached by your buds. And it's a lot of it's very self-driven.
Like, and, like, you know, like, what you can do to, like, make your buddies laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, cool. Yeah, that's safe.
Yeah.
That's safe. You know, it's like
in
the same way that it was once so risky for, like a same-sex kiss on stage. Like, oh, that's, like, a risky thing. That's risque. Like, oh, can't believe that they're doing that. But now it's like, oh, yeah, sure. If, like, if that is risky for you, then tight. But that's no longer risky to see it. Like, I don't think that is deserving of a laugh.
Right.
You know?
Of, like, the uproarious, like.
Yeah. And it's insane that people are still doing that and, like, selling it as a risk, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, if you're gonna sell a risk, then fucking take a risk. Like, put yourself in a position where you have to, like, now figure shit out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I really like that. So you're doing other comedy stuff now. You're doing like more writing. You're doing more stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
What I don't know. How is this next level? Like, is this informed by, like, your improv background? Like, is it different? Is it exciting? Is it scary?
Oh, it's very exciting, very scary, because with these other things there is a career that kind of attaches itself to it. Like, I think that, at least when I was starting improv, it was like, oh, you're doing improv for the sake of improv.
Yeah.
But now that it's like, oh, you're writing, you are hopefully, at least in my case, I am hopefully writing to get paid to write or to create a thing that is more lasting than a scene that I hope is good enough to, like, that people who aren't there, that, like, you can explain this to people and people enjoy it and want to see it. And with, like, stand-up, it's like, yeah, like, there are, like, there's money involved. You can make money. And I think that's inherently scarier.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, you're making money, you should be better then.
Right. Whereas I guess, like, the markers of success in improv are very abstract. Like, sure, there's teams and there's, like,
there are, like, gigs, slots or shows, and, like, things like that. Yeah.
Right. But, like, at a certain point, it's like, am I very good or am I very, very good? It's all out in the wash. As opposed to, I think, this stuff where, like, that difference can actually show up in your bank account.
Like, you're making a movie. Like, I'm sure that's terrifying. Because that movie's going to be out and people will have opinions on it.
Oh, yeah.
And in 20 years, somebody can find it and they're going to have an opinion on it.
They are? Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. Hopefully, like, we're putting in the work now. Like, I guess if we're thinking about it like improv, like, oh, like, this is all, like, an opening of sorts. You know, hopefully, like, we do enough now that just later it is all, like, kind of ingrained in us.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
and
I like
we
that.
Can, like, we know what's been done so we can, like, do better and do more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to get paralyzed by, like, this next project has to be the project that then sets me up for the next project. But I think, I don't know, if I've taken anything from, like, talking this long, I think you have a very even, like, equanimous, like, even-keeled sense about, like, balancing, like, aspirational, like, goals and, like, a very realistic attitude towards, like, the work you're in.
Yeah. I mean, I hope to be working forever.
Mm-hmm.
At least, like, for as long as I'm living. And I hope that I am learning and growing, and I think it's foolish to think that the last thing I make will be the best thing I make. I don't know, because I feel like people get old and then they kind of fucking suck, you know? Yeah. Or people, like, are new and they suck, but it's like, I just hope that I am trying my hardest every time so that whenever I do a thing that is great, and like, hopefully I do something that's great, you know? Hopefully I do a bunch of shit that's great.
Oh, yeah.
But whenever I do something that's great, I have put every ounce of work into it.
Yeah.
I think that's the aim. It's just, like, work hard and make everything as good as it can be.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great, man. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. It was so cool.
Absolutely.
That's so great. All right. And that was a long-form conversation. Tune in next episode when Gary will be your host.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This has been John Timothy. Gary, do you have anything you wanted to plug? Anything coming up?
Absolutely not.
Great. Yep. Love it. Okay. Goodbye, Internet.
Bye.
You've been listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.